There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Phone number and the text line, 343-0106. 343-0106 gets you through. And also, you can send us one of those talkback messages using the FM Talk 106.5 app. Just, yeah, texter here says, it's not a pop top or a flip top, it would be a screw top. Yeah, it's just, I guess this is what we get into in the state. Where I am, it's like either you're going to do, it's like the gambling thing. And I know during session, they always call it gaming. No, it's gambling. Gaming's what the kids are doing on computer. It's gambling. So either do it or don't. This kind of half-hearted way we do things. Like, and this one on this Byzantine law for THC and hemp drinks and the gummies and all that. If it's that bad, then the state should just have it be illegal. But they don't. No. It's legal, but only if you jump on one leg and sing, you know, Yankee Doodle Dandy. It's this stuff is so frustrating. We do this. They did walk back. But, I mean, here's the things that were in the law they had to walk back. So you could sell the hemp-infused beverages, but they couldn't have a pop top or a pull. There's no pull tabs. Those were awesome. Remember, you could make the chains out of the pull tabs. You can't have a pop top or a pull tab. Well, then they said, okay, well, now you can. Because they said they would require that such drinks be stored in child resistance cans and bottles. Well, I mean, maybe a little kid can't pop the top, but I don't know. I don't know how they were they going to make the tops like the pill tops or something? And then it said also they were going to put the drinks behind glass to where you had to, like, get somebody with a key to go get them or something like that, which... So if it's this, you know, Alabama legislature, if it's this big a deal, then you don't have it at all. This guy, we're going to do it, but we're not going to really do it. We're going to have... But here's why they do it. The last paragraph of that story from Alabama Political Reporter... Or last two here. It said, on its own, HB 445 limits THC content to 10 milligrams per serving for edibles and beverages, bans all smokable hemp products, mandates that all edible consumable hemp products be individually wrapped in single-serve packaging, why? Prohibits the sale of hemp products to individuals under the age 21. Now, that's good, right? You're going to make it the same as alcohol. That part makes sense. That was kind of what the retailers were doing before. But here's the reason why they will have it still instead of getting rid of it and put a bunch of rules. The law imposes a 10% tax. There you go. State needs that money. 10% tax on all sales of THC products. There you go. Way to go. Way to go, Alabama. So, all right. Get into the shutdown and day, what are we, 15 now? And what the Democrats are holding out for. You know, I heard Jeff talk about this morning, and he's of course accurate in this, that the defections we see here, quite often when one of these shutdowns happening, you see defections coming from Republicans, right? They're bailing out. The Republicans are actually standing pretty strong. They're acting like Democrats have in the past. The defections we're hearing about are coming from independents and maybe some more centrist Democrats out there. But what's at stake here? I'm going to read this story just coming in over at Fox News. said the White House unveiled a number of criminal illegal migrants who received Medicaid as the Senate remains in gridlock over the government shutdown. Fox News Digital obtained detailed information surrounding the arrests of 49 illegal migrants who have all been deported under the Trump administration, who were arrested for an array of crimes that occurred in the U.S. Charges including murder, assault, theft, burglary, rape, and sexual abuse of a minor, among the other serious charges. In Congress, the federal government has remained shut down for more than 2 weeks as Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and most Democrats push for a reinstatement of Medicaid policy that was altered under the One Big Beautiful Bill Act to be included in legislation that would fund the government through November 21st. Republicans argued that more than 1 million illegal aliens received Medicaid under the previously existing program that was revised under Trump's landmark bill. So this has been the claim, right? It says here, now this has come from White House spokeswoman, who is Abigail Jackson, said Democrats shut down the government and are inflicting pain on hardworking Americans. I'm so tired. There's a lot of not hardworking Americans, but on hardworking Americans because they want to provide free health care to illegal aliens due to previously lax federal controls and Democrat state policies. Criminal, illegal murderers and rapists receive Medicaid at the American taxpayers' expense. Because, by the way, they're polling out now that the Dems are using, saying the people that are worried about the tax breaks from the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, going away. So they're playing that one up in polling. I'm telling you right now, you take this one and poll that same group of people and say, do you think tax dollars should be going to provide Medicaid for these people? They're going to say no. I mean, except for like 7 or 8 people. It says, while federal law prohibits undocumented individuals from obtaining Medicaid, some states use federal funds to provide unique versions of state-funded health care that permit illegal immigrants to receive health benefits. So they take the federal money, they repackage it in their state and use it that way. Under the Biden administration, states were not allowed to place limits on the length of time someone could attest to having eligible immigration status for Medicaid. Trump's Working Families Tax Cut Act is ensuring taxpayer dollars are focused on the American citizens and do not subsidize health care for illegal aliens. But Democrats are desperate to undo those important reforms, and they're willing to make the American people suffer for it, Jackson went on to say. So they're rolling out the number of people here that this happens, right? So White House official explained the illegal migrants could obtain Medicaid through different means, because I think this would left a lot of us scratching our heads. How are they doing this? Okay. It said they explained that illegal immigrants could obtain Medicaid through different means, but specifically emergency care spending on those not legally in the United States rose from $3 billion to $9 billion under President Joe Biden across various states. And you can look at their tax, I mean, their population of citizens didn't increase at that rate. Says tax dollars spent on illegal migrants exceeded that of pregnant women, elderly, children, and the disabled during the Biden administration. Okay. So what I see here said they're rolling this, both sides are rolling out, they're polling, and the reason they're going to stand firm. I'm going to tell you right now, you know, the Mike Johnson, Speaker Johnson will get up there and say, well, listen, we're going to work on this and make sure that there's these Affordable Care Act tax rebates stay in place once we get the CR done. The Democrats don't have the support, I don't think, is their problem. They want to get this, and they're using this pinch point, this inflection point right now, to try to get something passed that they would not be able to get passed if you didn't have the pressure of the shutdown. That's what they're trying to do. And they're going out polling and saying, hey, they're polling one side of it, right? What about if you lost your, you know, the tax rebates here? And people are like, no. You know, you start messing with health care, I'm worried here. Okay. Same side, or on the flip side, Republicans are saying, hey, look at the money we're spending here on people that aren't citizens. And other than that, the rest of this CR is the same thing that Democrats voted for before when Biden was in office. It's the same stuff. But they're saying no. So the reality of Washington is Democrats know that they can't get this to work after the CR is done. There's not enough support for it. So therefore, they're going to get this done when there's a pressure point, but not support. Not saying no one supports it, but they wouldn't be able to get it done once things got back to normal in Washington. So there they go. You know, so we'll see. I do agree that the for once, Republican messaging on this has been pretty good. Usually, they either don't say anything or they say the wrong thing. In this case, they've done themselves a favor. All right, get your comment on the text line and the phone line at 343-0106. Be right back.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
120 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Good time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. We'll have a useful conversation about utility vehicles. David, what you got?
We got a bunch. We have got Suburban, Yukon XL, Cadillac Escalade ESV, which is a long version. This Cadillac Escalade ESV, I didn't realize it until last night. I was looking through the glove box and I found the original window sticker, the original Maroney label. Car listed for over $98,000 new. I mean, it is some kind of beautiful vehicle. And we've got it online for $31,900.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, this thing's got the real wood in it. It's not, I mean, everything about this truck, it's got a $3,000 brake upgrade from the factory, Bembro brakes. I mean, it's just a very unique truck. It had to have been special ordered to be, you know, that kind of money new.
Okay, people want to check it out online. You would talk about that, but also in person, tell them how to come look at that vehicle and all the other utility vehicles on the lot.
The Escalade is here. All of them are here. We got Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068, or there should be pictures of everything online, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
All right, buddy.
All right, there goes David at LCM Motor Cars. It's a useful conversation about utility vehicles. All right, grab multiple Michaels here. Michael's on the text line. First, Michael, this is why people still grow their own. Yeah, Tom, listen, it's just a... Just watch it when the legislature gets in. Instead of having a principled stand and saying, no, we're not going to have, which I disagree with, but if you, because I think we should have the right of referendum. But if you say we're not going to have gambling, then okay. Say no gambling or no THC, none of these things. Or if you're going to say yes, then quit putting a bunch of ridiculous rules that give preferences to certain people here on this, you know. How about a free market, Alabama? How about we do that? Another Michael says, I would bet that over 50% of the citizens don't even know there's a shutdown, and it's very likely that of the people who do know, way less than half even care that it's shut down. The shutdown's not what the fulcrum is for the Democrats. It is the saying, going out and saying, hey, listen, you could be losing those ACA tax rebates. Now get their attention. They pull, and they're polling that now. But if you turn around and poll the same thing, do you think that money should be going for Medicaid for illegal aliens? They would say no. And so the Democrats don't have... This is something they can't get past if there's not some kind of pinch point like this shutdown. That's why they're sticking... This is the only chance. Because even though... And Mike Johnson, I think, is being honest. Speaker is. That they'll talk about it when they come back after signing off a CR. But there's not political will for it. Connor says the exact same CR that the Dems are rejecting has been 13 times in a row already. Yep. I mean, they just see they're trying to get something across the finish line that does they even their side, they don't have the full support. So you got to make it about something else. All right. As we're talking about, too, in immigration. This story, this is, I'm not surprised this goes on, but it makes it into a news story. That's something. With the Mexican cartels now putting bounties of up to $50,000 on the heads of ICE, CBP officers in Chicago and DHS. Remember I said way back when this started, I said, what will happen is we do what we need to do and secure the border. right, and start deporting people. Well, this is bad for business for the cartels. The cartels are then, they don't have a lobbying firm working for, I don't think so, maybe they do, a lobbying firm working for them. So they're going to try to use terrorism here in our country. Remember, I had this conversation to try to change policy. Well, here it is, y'all. Story from the New York Post. Mexican criminals have offered Chicago gangs up to $50,000 to murder top officials in both Immigration and Customs Enforcement and U.S. Customs and Border Protection and the Department of Homeland Security. In an intelligence bulletin, DHS revealed a tiered system of bounties starting at $2,000 for gathering intelligence or doxing agents, including details about their family. That's like that's the bottom level. That's the bronze plan. It comes up then, says in this story, this surveillance has enabled ambushes and disruptions during routine enforcement actions, including recent raids under Operation Midway Blitz, said DHS, which added that non-lethal assaults on rank and file ICE and CBP officers could net gang members between $5,000 and $10,000. Okay, so we go up from 2 to 5 to 10. Christy Noem said in the comment yesterday, these criminal networks are not just resisting the rule of law. They are waging an organized campaign of terror against brave men and women who protect our borders and communities. 100% agree there. And so, well, I've got some issues with us just shooting boats out of the water off Venezuela until you can prove to me that they're actually, we're sure that they're bad guys. You know, I make sure. But if the cartels are going to operate like this, you know, they want to bring war in, they're bringing war in. If you are putting out hits on American officials and people that work for the American people enforcing the laws of the land, and you're putting bounties on them, yeah, there is some area to turn this rheostat up, and I think it's fixing to get turned up. They openly are saying, here's the bounty for this, here's the bounty for that. Unbelievable. Mob Dog, I don't know. I asked the question yesterday when I put it in the mailbox. Mob Dog on the text line said, if the government is shut down, why am I still obligated to pay taxes? Well, I sent that the checks to the feds and to the state yesterday, and I'm with you. State's not shut down, though, so they get theirs, but... But essential workers, listen, the IRS, they're essential. So they're still taking tax money. Yes, everything else, you know, you'd say would shut down that's non-essential. I think a lot of Americans would argue and say, listen, we don't feel the IRS is essential, but they are open and they're still taking. So if you're on the, if you file in October, yeah, you still got to do it. So yeah, there's not a. Sorry, Mob Dog, bad news for both of us there. What about the okay, yeah, I mean, once again, this isn't what they heard. This is what's so creepy about this. So once again, the story from the New York Post, other places have it, but Mexican cartels are offering, like, not just like the word got out, but it's like, okay, you get $2,000 if you dox an agent or gather intelligence on them. If you assault them, I guess it depends on, okay, non-lethal assaults on rank and file ICE and CBP officers will be paid $5,000 to $10,000. I don't know where the range is in that. And then there was a story, too, about some cartel leader that had said he was going to offer $50,000 for somebody being killed. I mean, this is out in the open. And I got to imagine that this is going to be responded to south of the border in a strong way. Chilling. All right, news is straight ahead. Coming back, Spiritual Goddess, Mayor-elect of the City of Mobile, is going to join us. We have a little sit-down time with him. If you've got questions, you can hit us up on the text line, 343-0106. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Clint Jameson at Adventure Earth Bicycles. He's ready to realize, by the way, bow season started today, right? So got that going on, going in through hunting season. E-bikes, super popular. He gets it, and he's got a new shipment of fat tire e-bikes for hunting season. He's got the Mach Wheel, this new one, the Mach Wheel Obsidian 2.0, 750-watt motor. It's got the fat tires on it, the whole suspension. It comes in camo. And by the way, the suspension's from when I got my e-bike from Clint to now. The suspension on my bike is all in the forks, right? The suspension's there, and it's great. But now all the manufacturers are doing seat suspension, like a shock absorber. My buddy Mike Ward has one on it. It's next level, y'all. I mean, if you ride around with not a lot of butt like me, it makes a big difference. So they've come with full suspension. Also from Denago, their fat tire hunting e-bike, it's OD green and black, so it's camoed out for hunting season. They've got that in stock as well as all the accessories. So he's got holders for your bow, for your rifle, for your gun. Also panniers to go over the back tires if you need to carry gear in and out of the woods with you. He's got those bikes and they're ready to go. So you've been thinking about getting an e-bike for hunting season. The time is now. Go see him. He's at the corner of Little Flower and Little Flower and Airport in Midtown, kind of catty-cornered across from Ruth's Chris. Online at adventure-earth.com. Adventure Earth Bicycles, everything inside to get you outside. All right, and good to see this man in studio, Mayor-elect of the City of Mobile, Spiro Chirigatis. Thanks for coming in.
How are you, Sean?
Glad to be here. I'm good. Thinking about from, our conversation in the forum we held before the first election, and then going into the runoff, I don't know if you can disclose all of what happened, but looking at the turnout that happened for the runoff, I would have lost that bet. Usually runoffs don't net out the number of people that the original does, but turned out.
I generally expect a 5-10% decrease in turnout when
pretty
it comes
much standard.
To a runoff. So, hopfully our messaging got through and
what did
it
you
got
do?
People
like,
excited.
What did y'all do to say, hey, I mean, obviously you needed everybody to show up who showed up the first time, but how'd you get the people to show up who didn't show up the first time to show up the second time?
We texted them a lot. We made their friends call them. We went to their doors and knocked and had a lot of conversations. But, in the end, it was just doing the hard work. These elections, these municipal elections, they're a different time of year than we're used to, mm-hmm. In an odd numbered year, which mm-hmm. we're not used to. So a lot of it is just getting people to wake up from their daily grind and recognize that, hey, we got an election coming up. Not everybody listens to your show every day.
Unfortunately for them. Yeah,
exactly. They wouldn't know about these fat tire bikes, which I'm now interested in.
Oh, they're awesome.
So a lot of it is just getting people keyed in and mm-hmm. knowing what's going on, knowing that this is important. But I'll tell you, to me, the thing that I think changed the game was my friends texting their friends and their friends texting their friends to say, hey, this
like
is
an old
important.
Phone tree almost.
It's amazing how seemingly low tech it mm-hmm. really came down to. And we did everything else. And I won't say it was any one thing, but that direct contact from friend to friend, I think it made a big difference.
Well, it obviously did because, the numbers are there. It turned out, and it's pretty amazing. So congratulations again.
Thank you.
And you have just, as a private citizen, you only have, two more weeks? A
couple more weeks, yeah.
November 3rd.
Okay. Although I've talked to Sandy. He says he's out of there on Halloween, so, he might let me start a little early, but let me take that first Saturday of the month, but... November 3rd is the day I get sworn in that morning at 10 a.m. down at Government Plaza. Really excited, really looking forward to it, and just continuing to say thank you to everybody that did show up, come out, and vote. It took every last vote that we could get.
For sure.
And, am I thankful that the citizens showed up.
Yeah, absolutely. They showed up, like I said, way more than they showed up for the original, which was something. Now, looking at November 3rd or even before that, you and I have talked about this in the past. This is your first time. Just checking, unless there's something I don't know. Your first time being a mayor.
First time being a mayor.
Okay. And the mayor of Mobile. The research, or whatever you call it, has got to be, you had never done this before, there's obviously a lot to learn.
There, you know, the saying is drinking from a fire hose.
Yeah, I've heard that.
That is how it feels. I knew that the city was involved in a lot of things. I thought I had a good grasp of it, and then I realized the 80% that I needed to learn more about. Trying to spend a lot of time meeting with people that are working for the city, that are already doing the job, hearing their thoughts, hearing their suggestions, hopefully finding ways that we can be a little more efficient, that we can improve here and there. And, of course, I've got some big items that are on my agenda that will be new. You know, when I look at public transportation and trolleys, when we look at some of the things I want to do from the crime side and public safety side, they're new, they're different. And so trying to get people to buy in while also understanding better, what they've been doing that's working, what they've been doing that, maybe needs some help.
Yeah, I want to come back to the trolley thing, too. I got a trolley story for you.
Well,
but
yeah.
On the public safety side, I mean, there's the driver of so much of the conversation in your campaign. So what that you can tell us are we going to do differently? Because people are hungry for that. Like, let's fix this. How are we going to fix it?
Yeah. Well, one thing I'm really excited about is the increasing of the number of officers we have on the streets. We fully funded up to about 500 officers now. We've still got some. We just had a class graduate. Mm-hmm. We've got another class that we'll need to graduate. And then we're also folding in the airport police department. And so at least 12 of those will be dedicated to the airport. But I think it's going to give us another 12 officers out on the street, mainly in traffic patrols. So more officers on the street is one thing. I certainly believe in lighting, especially downtown. You look at some of the things that happen downtown, not nearly as much in other places like Nashville and other places that people still visit. But we need more lighting. We need people to feel safe when they're moving around our city. And again, I always come back to it, and we had this horrible shooting over in Mississippi, youth gun violence. Youth gun violence. I was speaking with somebody today. He had lunch with his friend yesterday who left Mobile because she was a victim of gun violence in a fairly prominent story. We've got to end those stories. We want people moving to Mobile, not from Mobile. I think we can do that with a youth gun violence task force. I haven't settled on the name.
Okay.
But we need to be highly focused and intensively resource focused on that area because that's what's making people feel unsafe.
100%. And we talk about the if I've always pictured gun violence, if you like a circle here, pie, and bad guy versus bad guy, it still accounts for stats, but bad guy versus bad guy doesn't bother law-abiding people that much.
I hear that.
Sad statistic, but domestics only involve the people in that domestic. Now we're left with the rest of that piece of pie, and that's the one that worries people. Whether it's bad guy versus bad guy and they end up shooting innocent person, or bad guy goes after innocent person, that's the part of the pie in these gun numbers that, and you're talking about the youth gun violence issue. We have laws.
We do.
We have, we got laws. So I want to keep those laws and put those people in prison. Mayor, like, there's something else that's got to change. There's something else we're not doing that's got to change.
And I do think it's at the education level. I think there are skills and, ways to see the world that I think we need to teach better. A lot of teachers might fairly say, it's not my job to raise a child, but if we see that children aren't being taught the lessons they need to be taught at home, somebody's got to step in.
Correct.
Why
or
not?
You end up, and I agree, you might say, we're both dads. You'd be like, my children are my problem, your child. But at a certain point, it should be the parent doing it, but if the parent doesn't do it, you can't just say, oh, well, because look what it gets you.
Yeah, and I don't want to say that all these parents are bad parents. We've got single moms working their tail off just to keep a roof over their children's head, and they can't be there at every moment. So we need to make sure that, those mentorship opportunities are there, some of those after-school programming that are teaching these good things. I believe in the golden rule, treat others as you would have others treat you. These things can be taught by different groups, and I really think it's an area where the community can step in, whether it's the faith community, the mm-hmm. nonprofit community. They want to help. I'd like to see some of those efforts be a little more organized so that we're operating hand in hand and we're not duplicating efforts. And so I hope to do that. I hope to get those entities together, you know, and on the same page. They all want to do good. Let's do good together.
Okay. For the text line, Jason asked if you can make any changes in heads at law enforcement.
You know, I'm looking at all the options. Right now I'm meeting with people. I haven't made any final decisions. You know, I was just having lunch with somebody today. You know, I think we've got a lot of good people doing a good job. Do I think some changes may need to be made? Yeah, you know, they will eventually over time, and maybe as soon as I step in office.
What about this texter, unnamed texter? What can we do to get more funding to cut the grass along the interstate in Mobile? It's embarrassing, and the trash is overwhelming.
God, you know, that's so funny. I was talking about that yesterday. So most of that is LDOT, right? If it's next to the interstate, if it's grass at an intersection or an interchange, that's LDOT's responsibility. Mm-hmm. They've decreased the number of crews they have running. I think they only cut the grass maybe two, three times a year.
They're probably going to say because they have to fund the bridge.
And they might, but I think there's a way we can come to an agreement with LDOT where maybe we take over that responsibility with some, you know, hopefully some funds that come mm-hmm. along with that. But it is the image of our city.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's LDOT's road or not, whether it's their responsibility or not, people passing through Mobile are seeing it and they're thinking about Mobile. They're not thinking about Montgomery.
Now, well said. Well said. Because that's the, you know, I didn't throw the trash down, you know, in my front yard, but that's trash in your front yard and it looks bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I got to pick it up. You've been out, believe me, I've cursed it. You've been out there like idiot through the, you know, but you pick it up. You know, on the trolley thing, before we go to the news here, so, and actually I was coming back from North Mississippi last weekend, and the diaspora of people leaving cruising the coast mm-hmm. were coming north on all the roads, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw two, I guess, classic trolleys that they had had down there. They were taken back up. And it got me thinking about, when you first started talking about trolleys, I went, I don't know what Spiro's talking about. I'm like, as I thought about it, and I'm big compliment here, because we talk about public transportation. I tell you, nobody wants to ride the bus. Okay, people have to ride the bus for a lot of reasons, but nobody wants to ride the bus. I mean, if somebody, you're going to try to get people to get on something, I don't want to get on the bus. But the trolley does the same thing. It's a bus, y'all. It feels different. I think you will have success with that.
It just does. You know, I was out at South Alabama for the game last night. They bought two new trolleys to run people around the campus. It's a big campus. They're beautiful. You know, they harken back to a different time.
Like, I thought when I first heard you start talking about it, I'm like, come on. But now that, you know, nobody really wants to ride a bus, but I kind of would ride a trolley.
Converting one citizen at a time here. You know, downtown, look, the footprint of downtown's getting bigger. It's hard to walk from Greer's downtown mm-hmm. all the way to the new arena.
Right.
But if you had a trolley, you could hop on.
Because I wouldn't get on a bus,
minutes.
Though. If a bus pulled up the same place, I'd be like, yeah.
Nah. No,
but
thanks.
If it's a trolley, a little,
you know, trolley with the windows half down.
I don't know what it is. You're onto something. I tried to honestly think about it, and I was like, what is, and I saw the trolleys, and I saw them again, like I said, this weekend. I said, yeah, I'd get on one of those.
I don't think you can quantify it. I think it just is.
It's like, it is. Coming right back, more with Mayor-elect of the City of Mobile, Spiro Chiarigotis, right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
150 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Continue our conversation with Mayor-elect of the City of Mobile, Spiro Chiarigotis. I'm going to read a couple texts here as we get in. This one said, this was one of the cleanest elections that I could remember, and all the candidates had similar messages. I would urge the winner and those who didn't win to listen to each other and address crucial issues that face the city. Also, everyone should listen to each other on what direction should be and how to get there. Congratulations to all that fought in this hard race for mayor. So, yeah.
Great suggestion, you know, and with a lot of the my former opponents in the race, you know, we need to build collaboration. You know, Ms. Hudson's a county commissioner, Ms. Drummond's a state legislator, and I plan to – I've already spoken with Ms. Hudson about being collaborative on some projects going forward. I want to do the same with Ms. Drummond. You know, we all want Mobile to be better, and I look forward to working with all of them to make that a reality.
Tim says, what about fire department? So many old 60 and 70 buildings. Maybe that's 60s and 70s.
There definitely needs to be some replacements when it comes to some of the fire department buildings. You know, downtown, we've got Central Station, which is, you know, really a hub. They need some new windows, you know. There's a lot of it. In the end, in any city project, it all comes down to funding. And so we've just got to make sure that we're allocating that funding. I hope, you know, hopefully there'll be some good news coming up soon. But we need to increase the revenue of our city without increasing taxes.
Mm-hmm.
We need more people choosing to spend their time, their money, and, you know, hopefully settle down some roots here in Mobile, living in Mobile, growing our tax base. And I think we can encourage that in a lot of ways. I've been up in the mayor's office a lot the last couple of weeks. I'm watching that arena climb skyward. You can really see the outline of it. There are exciting things happening here in Mobile, and I hope there are things that will make more people want to be a part of it.
The funding thing, this is one of the, you know, my soapbox is a pretty tight fiscal conservative and worry about overextending, you know, with our city too. And look at something like this big outlay, and worried about, okay, to pay for that, what do we not do? You know, I mean, because it is exciting. It's exciting. And I do like, I've said, I like the idea that OVG has a dog in the hunt. Like, they don't get to make money unless the city makes money. That right. world makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. That stuff makes sense to me. But you look at this and go, okay, this is really awesome, but we better make sure that we have the money to do the stuff that's not as sexy. Or paving streets, doing drainage, you know, dealing with blight, those kind of things. They don't have ribbon cuttings at those, but those are day in and day out the things we experience in the city.
I might change that. We might have some ribbon cuttings. I'd love it if they were clean out some drainage ditches.
I think it would be awesome because that's
a nice,
usually
clean concrete ditch.
Listen, I would love that. It's just we haven't seen that in the past. The stuff that gets the cameras and the ribbon cutting is the fancy thing where the thing that people experience most days is like this road work needs done or this drainage needs done. It's just not as exciting, except when it's not done, it's really bad.
It can be devastating. You know, I think you can't ignore the tertiary effect of building an arena. And when you as a city invest in your own city, it encourages outside private investment as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can see that Mike Dow invested a lot of money in downtown, you know, 30, 40 years ago. Now that encouraged David Bronner from RSA to come and invest, you know, $1 billion in downtown Mobile. That wouldn't have happened without the city's investment. I think, you know, that took some borrowing and bonding of money. That's what we've done here with the arena. I think you're going to see a lot of private investment come in around that the city will benefit from, you know, from a sales tax, lodging tax point of view. You know, cleaning ditches, fixing roads, they're never going to pay you money, but if you don't do it,
well, it's
going to
cost you money.
You all the investment.
Correct.
You know, that the investment will flee. So it is something we can't ignore. You know, litter is one that's really bugging me.
Yeah, people are texting right now about people littering.
You know, I think there are ways. I think we as the public need to hold each other accountable as much as we can. So, you know, if you see somebody doing it, take a picture. You know, stop, take a picture. Take a picture of the person doing it, of the car.
Would you promise to have a place on the city's website where we could put pictures up of the people littering?
I thought that, you know, there's this Bad Drivers of Mobile Facebook page.
I do love it.
I wish somebody would create like a Bad Litterers of Mobile Facebook page so that
Shame is a good tool.
It just is.
It's proven over over the millennia.
Hard for me to encourage that, but you know, people do. You know, people want to be proud of their city. Many people do. It hurts me when people, you know, they're devastating our city and our sewer system, by the way, with this, you know, continuous littering. And one way that I plan on attacking it, I spoke to one of the city prosecutors yesterday. I want to see more community service required of people who are paying fines and being convicted of crimes at the city level. A lot of people can't pay those fines rather than them just languishing on. let's do community service instead. Let me get a crew of 100 people every Saturday picking up litter in Mobile.
I think that would be, honestly, a bigger deterrent than smaller fines. I mean, obviously, there's some number where you'd hit. It wouldn't. But, you know, if somebody could say, well, I just come up with $500 and don't have to deal with it. Yeah. Or everybody's going to see 50 me.
50 hours of community service.
Yeah,
with
and people are
going to
honk at me who know me when they go by on the.
You know, I think it might make people think twice.
I think
it will serve the purpose of helping us clean this litter off of our, you know, roadways and stopping it before it gets into our water system, mm-hmm. which either clogs it up or gets out into the bay or our rivers. You know, I want to protect the beauty of Mobile, and protecting us from all the litter is part of that.
And people, this also came through in one about the litter and panhandling. Said, what about panhandling? People hand them food and they throw it on the ground right where they're standing. You know, this area right here where we're in kind of a hot spot for you know, panhandling and all that going on. How do you deal with that at a municipal level?
It's so hard. You know, I would like to see signs, right? There are places that have signs up that say, A, panhandling is dangerous. B, don't give out cash, because cash, right, oftentimes is just feeding the cycle that's keeping people on the street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to donate, here's a QR code.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can do that with some simple signage. We can't make panhandling illegal.
Nope, because then you can't raise money for the softball team. You can't sell donuts. You can't, you know.
You know, the Supreme Court also said we couldn't do it because it's free speech. But I think we can discourage it, because we have many, many programs out there for people that want to move out of that lifestyle and into a better life. There are people out there begging people to take a chance to come join their program. You might think that we don't have enough of those programs, and maybe we need some more funding, but we got a lot of people who are unmotivated.
That's the ones.
Unmotivated.
Do everything you can to get the people that are not by choice there to help them, give them a leg up, get back into society.
That's right.
And then I don't know what you do with the rest of them, but you're the mayor.
I think you can discourage that lifestyle by, you know, signage. There are other things. Of course, if you see one of those individuals littering, don't be afraid to take a picture. Send it into 311. There are things we can do. You know, I'm not a heartless person. I love people, all people. I want to see people live their best lives, but sometimes you got to make it uncomfortable for them to lead a bad life before they want to lead a better life.
Well said. I have to get you back in soon after November 3rd.
That sounds great.
Spiro, thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor-elect of the City of Mobile, Spiro Chiarigatis, our guest. Paul Feinbaum on the way next.